only 9 more episodes till Radio Free Cybertron number 500.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 491. I am Brian Kilby, and with me this week, I have Matt. Is that an Adidas shirt, Matt?
That is an Adidas shirt, Brian.
Man, I can tell just by the top of it that I'm programmed. Chris?
And I'm the programmer.
He's Don.
Hello, and I'm wearing my favorite shirt.
I'm not going to show my shirt because it's politically charged. Diecast, how's it going?
I'm doing excellent.
That's awesome.
What's your shirt, Diecast?
Sore, but it's a white Iron Man shirt.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's an inside shirt because this one was the same size as all the others, but this one must be a different manufacturer, and it is tight.
Oh. And Rob, how's it going?
Not too bad.
Very cool. Okay, so not a lot of news this week, but we have, like, to me, what's one of the biggest items in a while, so we're going to focus on that. But before we get into other things, I wanted to talk about, I mentioned the Extra Life 24-hour live stream. It's going to be November 5th at 8 a.m. It's going to run till 8 a.m. on Sunday, the next morning. Our goal is right now, I'm setting it as a low bar, which is $1,000, to go to the Children's Miracle Network. Specifically, the hospital that I'm supporting is Duke Children's Hospital. And if you want to watch, go to tfradio.net/extralife for more information and to donate. We will post the schedule of folks who are streaming in the games later this week or early next week. But right now,
as soon as we have one.
Yeah, as soon as we have one. but yeah, so it'll be pretty fun. So tfradio.net/extralife, and that's all lowercase, for more details. And Operation Combination, which is our donation drive for 2016, holiday season. And it's an attempt to help clear Combiner Wars off of toy shelves.
Or any other Transformers product you feel like buying and donating to children in need.
Yeah. So basically all you have to do is buy the toy at the your local retailer or wherever, and donate the toy to a reputable toy drive such as Toys for Tots. There are other charities such as Ronald McDonald House, local children's home. I used to work for one. They gladly accepted toys. The local foster care organization, you know, so on and so forth. But when you do, basically take a photo and just tweet out the pictures to us and we'll retweet them because, you know, it's a good thing. We're doing good. And, of course, TFCon Chicago is this week. I keep forgetting that because I'm not there.
Oh, don't remind me. I want to go so bad.
I'm feeling so bummed that we're not there.
I took the vacation time for it and everything, and I still can't go.
Oh. I love going to TFCon. I really do. I loved it last year.
You just don't love the drive to Chicago so much.
That's true. Been to Chicago too much recently, so. But yeah, so hopefully next week we'll have lots of third-party news and information. Are there any third-party exclusives for TFCon that we've seen yet that anybody cares about?
There are. The one that is really cool is the Ocular Max Sphinx.
Uh-huh.
They're doing the exact opposite clear side for Chicago.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Jerks.
I kind of wish I could pick one up, but I'm not going. But if I could, it would be cool because it would be like Sphinx looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
They also, there's also, I think it's the Make Toys one, the Inferno Grapple Mold they're doing in Road Hauler colors.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the convention actually hasn't started yet, right? So there may be things that show up on the convention floor that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that happened before.
Yeah, because they did surprise us the year we went.
Was it that Fort Max?
That yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The Toy World. The Toy World
Grant.
Yeah.
Infiltrator.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, and next week, maybe we'll have a report from a friend that's there. I don't have anybody in mind, but I know several people that are there. So we may call them up. Okay.
Also, it's vaguely worth noting the Fun Pub crew is going to be there unloading some of their back inventory and Let's Make a Deal stuff.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So do they actually have BotCon 2016 exclusives? I heard that they do.
They tweeted or Facebooked a picture, and there is some of this year's stuff.
Subscription service for stuff in there.
Wow.
I mean, if you think about that, they kind of have to clear this stuff now, though, because they're kind of running out of time. So it seems a little bit soon on one hand, but if you stop and think about it, they don't really have a choice.
2 months.
Yeah. Any of those Megatrons they ran out of Saturday morning?
I didn't see any in the pictures. I'm assuming not.
They had an extra run for Rollout Roll Call or TF Nation or something, right?
Or something.
Yeah.
Or at least a portion set aside specific for that purpose.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the first place. But presumably there's not going to be, or if there are any of those in the Let's Make a Deal box, they're going to be mighty expensive.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so anybody get anything? I got Bisk. Found him at Walmart. Warrior class Bisk.
That's awesome. How do you like?
I like him. He's nice.
How's the deco?
It's very plain, but it doesn't have to be that elaborate. I mean, his eyes are colored in.
Yeah, I mean, I assumed it was plain, but is it plain in a way where it like harms the toy in your view?
No. It's not. It's not blur. It's definitely not.
Or Hasbro Thunderhoof.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if I have Hasbro or Takara. I think I have Takara. I have Takara.
I think you have the Takara one, but you've seen the Hasbro one.
Yeah.
You know what it looks like.
I really like it.
It's so plain, Don won't even do his Frank Stallone impression.
Yeah. But it's definitely nice. And Kim was a little shocked that it was $15. She's like, that's $15? I'm like, the economy has changed.
I'm a little shocked it's $15 too. I mean...
Yeah. But I like it. It's worth a buy. Get it.
Honestly, I'm shocked that the Robots in Disguise Deluxes are $15, but handling the more recent ones, it doesn't feel like as much of a stretch as when I got Strong Arm at the start of the line.
Oh, yeah.
Starscream is definitely a $15. Like, it feels like a $15 toy. It could use more deco, but, like, the quality is there to feel like it's worth the deluxe price point. And Quillfire was the same way, except for mine developing a crack almost immediately in one of the legs.
That's not good. Hey, one more thing
I mean, the design's gotten so much better.
Yeah. One more thing I got. It's not a Transformer, but I got my Google Pixel XL. It's not supposed to be even released till tomorrow, but I got it today somehow.
Have you played with it any?
It's great. It's really nice. My favorite feature is the fact, apparently they stole this from LG, but the fingerprint sensor is on the back, which I thought was stupid to begin with, but I realize now I don't have to do something unnatural to unlock my phone, because it's literally the way that I hold it. I just put my finger on it and it unlocks. It's amazing. It's genius. So
I want somebody to take one of those and make the fake fingerprints out of the ballistics gel.
Yeah.
And see if that'll unlock one of those phones. Like, how secure is one of those fingerprint scanners on the phone?
I have no idea. I mean, somebody else can't touch it and unlock it. So
no, but we'll see. Talking if somebody makes a copy of your fingerprints.
I don't know.
As unlikely as that scenario is, I just want to see, how far the security goes on that.
I mean,
because I've seen other fingerprint scan stuff that's easily defeated.
If somebody really wants to get in my Spotify playlist that bad, I'm okay with that. So
yeah, no, it's not even about that. It's more just I want to know how good the technology is.
Yeah, cool.
I'm sure that'll be on YouTube within a few weeks anyway.
Probably. Oh, yeah. I'm jealous of what Rob got. So Rob, tell us what you got.
Yes, thanks to Headmaster Don, my headmasters can finally fight. I have Chrome Dome. So, and that is a really, really nice figure. I am incredibly happy with it.
My headmasters can't fight.
It's amazing that it came from a Combiner Wars mold.
Well, it came from a Combiner Wars design, not a mold. You can tell it's based on the Dead End Engineering, but it is different enough that it's it's obviously entirely new tooling, and it's been reworked. For example, I tried to transform it like Dead End, and that does not work because you cannot close the arms into the legs like you do on Dead End. So you have the arms have to be folded into the sides separately. But, you know, it looks really good. Everything fits together perfectly. Everything locks down in both modes exactly as it should. It's just nice to have a car with a little cockpit in the middle with something to put in it, which that may be like the first time I have owned a Transformer that does that, as stupid as that sounds, that actually came with a driver.
And his deco aside, that gives me hope for Getaway being a good solid toy, even though his deco is very Getaway, but it's also very blah. But again, that's Getaway.
Oh, it wanted to be Getaway, but it's missing about 90% of the paint it needs to be Getaway.
Yeah. That'll be a wait for Takara situation, I'm sure. But and also, he fits in Power Master Optimus Prime's trailer, which is just, I am enjoying that far more than I actually should.
But you're, making a nesting doll of Transformers. You put the driver in Chrome Dome, then you put Chrome Dome in Optimus. Now you just need something to load Optimus into and
put him on Fort Max.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Rob gets one, he can do that.
Yes, it'll be soon.
Yeah, cool. Anybody else get anything?
So I got today my Toy Hacks labels for Laserbeak, Combined or Titans Return, and also Soundwave.
So, why are you hiding the address, Diecast? You've already tweeted out your home address several times.
Because it's wrong.
And that was the old address.
Wrong.
No, I don't think that was the old address, Rob.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to back up. And I also got
Scarlet Witches.
By accident, he said.
By accident.
Yeah.
Well, who'd buy six of those on purpose, right?
And I can't remember if I mentioned this last week that I had it or not. I don't think I did. But I got this guy right here. Double deck.
Ooh.
How much was that, Don?
After Dononomics were involved, I got it for about 70.
You know, seeing that, it just makes me realize I would just be fine with Titans Return Blaster in blue.
Yeah,
we'll
I
get
love
that one way or another.
Yeah, I love that that color scheme on that blaster.
I like the double deck. I was kind of wanting the regular flat colored blaster, but double deck has the better cassettes. So, and then after getting this guy open up and checking, because apparently they did a few tweaks on the double deck version that the regular metallic cherry red broadcast didn't have. So he's a lot tighter than some of the reviews on the earlier figures. Plus, he's just visually, he's very stunning.
Yeah.
So I'm
stunned.
Him. Yeah. So I like him. I like him a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I love Twin Cast. So that's.
And then of course he has the same gimmick that you can load the tapes like in Soundwave, and you've got Rosanna and Scorpy.
Cool.
I should need a third one now.
I want Scorpy to be an official Transformers name. That's just there's something about that.
Well, now, you know, they could always release that cassette with another figure and color it green like Scorp from GoBots.
So, Blaster, I mean, Twincast was still Twincast was Blaster, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't. Yeah. I mean, they didn't name he didn't go back to Billy.
No, he was specifically Blaster after he became Twincast. He stopped being Billy.
I'm so happy you watch all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm up to like episode 4. I've never actually watched it before, and I think I've got my brother watching it now too. After playing him Darn That Soundwave.
That's awesome. That's clips too.
I had seen Darn That Soundwave before, but without the context, you cannot really appreciate it fully.
That sounds like it's a drinking game.
Oh my god! If that show was a drinking game, you would die. You would die.
So you've already met the ninja consultant from Cybertron, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. That's it's like, I don't waste my time talking. I love it. I love it. If people didn't think it was a typo, I would just rename the show Radio Free Cyberton, but...
Do that for April Fool's.
I should. Oh, yes. Oh, April Fool's gag idea. Hopefully people watching will not remember this. How about we do the show as if after the our Omni dubs, everything was a dub?
Yes. Like, or, we should come up with names for everything for that entire episode.
Yes.
Or... instead of that, we will record the show, then we will go back and dub over ourselves on the show and release that. Omni Productions presents Radio Free Cyberton. I love that.
So this
how hard would it be that if for Brian, for us to do that, but we put different voices on different people?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. God, that would be so hard. But if we did it just for 5 minutes.
It wouldn't be as hard as you think it would, honestly.
Okay.
Especially since we wouldn't be worried about matching lip flap because we're, you know, doing bad dub style.
True. Hey, go ahead.
Okay, so everybody watching right now and listening to the podcast, forget everything we said for the last 45 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah. I was just going to say, if I'm going to have to be putting up with bad dubbing from inspired by the Star Dubs, I want a Cybernet Space Cube involved somehow to balance it out.
How about we just
be more difficult, but not impossible.
How about we just have John DeLuna dub you?
Or John DeLuna could be all of our voices.
I don't know.
It's an awful lot of work to put on John.
But so this is much better than my original idea, which was a ramen noodle podcast.
I mean, we could still do that. I have strong feelings about chicken ramen.
I already had a volunteer to help me do a ramen noodle podcast. So, okay. So let's jump to This Week in History. A couple of my favorites from 1986. So they're 30 years old, and it makes me so sad. But it's the most beautiful episode in the universe. All right, give me the bomb. Fight or Flee, which is a phenomenal episode. Aired for the first time 30 years ago this week.
Yeah, it's
Fight or Flee was one of the three season 3 episodes they did in Generation 2, and I remember watching it for the first time and being really damn confused.
So what I love about Fight or Flee, it really helps add to the Transformers universe, where like most of the crap that happened in season 2 was just like, oh, well, we found some giant kids, or somebody's brain got put in somebody else's brain, or we found some hooligans that we're hanging out with, and they're graffitiing our bodies. It's just
we built
like
our
that.
Science project out of a catacomb.
It's crap like that. But like season 3, relatively speaking, gets into like sci-fi world building territory that the Transformers never saw before, and it's amazing.
It is really interesting in the contrast because, season 2 is still a lot of, let's go have a wacky adventure this week.
Yes.
Season 3 is, there's stuff happening in the universe and we're part of it.
Yeah, I love it. I love Fight or Flee.
Actually a really interesting point that I've never stopped to, consider very much. So, that's cool.
But
I'm looking at its page on the wiki and holy crap, is the animation or technical glitches section long.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But my my favorite episode.
Yes, I think that's one where like Bruticus is actually normal size standing next to one of the Combaticons or something.
Yeah,
is that Fire Flea?
It's one of those episodes. Yeah,
awesome. Yeah. But my absolute favorite episode of any Transformers series ever also aired this week, and it's Webworld.
That is such a good episode.
That is amazing. Webworld. Yes.
There's a theme you can identify in season 3, which is if a episode features Cyclone is kind of heavily, it's going to be a really good episode because there's also the Killing Jar.
Oh, yes.
Which is a super, super strong episode of season 3. Starscream's Ghost has a fair bit of Cyclonus in it. That's really good, too. Cyclonus was an unsung star of season 3.
Yeah.
I would put Dweller in the Depths on that list, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good episode. But this one, it basically, if you don't know, it features Cyclonus, who realizes that Galvatron is crazy, so he sends him to a planet full of psychologists and psychotherapy.
After the other Decepticons threaten to take care of it themselves, if Cyclonus doesn't.
Yeah, and basically,
good luck with that, you guys. He blew up a planet a couple days ago.
Yeah. So basically, Galvatron goes through psychotherapy, and it's a thing of beauty.
And spoiler, he drives a planet insane.
Yes, literally. It's so good.
It's also a really interesting episode, too, because there's, like, barely any Autobots in it. Like, the Autobots are in the first scene of the episode, and then it's just Galvatron and Cyclonus and Planet Psychiatry.
Yes.
And yeah. I personally think it's worth it just for the part where Cyclonus has to sign
the forms. The consent form.
Yes.
It is. It is just such a good episode.
It's so great.
Season 3 is the best, man.
It's the best. Easily.
It's pretty good.
2008. This I love this story because I remember this, and it kind of helped shape for a while anyway, sort of the way that the stuff that we got at Big Lots anyway. So Big Lots recalls Bootleg Legends figures Super Transform Ultimate End General Mobilization toys due to pressure from Hasbro.
Okay, so basically what this is... Big Lots for many, many years was selling Cybertron Legends toys, official Hasbro product, for inflated prices, as Big Lots does mm-hmm. with real stuff they sell.
Except for Creo.
At the same time, they were selling... Yeah, the Creo stuff's basically on par. But at the same time, they were selling upsized knockoffs of Cybertron Legends figures right next to the official stuff, and Hasbro caught wind of this and was not very pleased with them. This was already after the era where Big Lots had like the knockoff Beast Wars figures.
Those
were kind of gone out of the stores by the time this happened, so there wasn't really a loss of anything interesting there, and those Cybertron Legend upscales weren't really anything to... much to speak of, except for this happened because of them.
And now if you want Legend upscales, you have to go to Family Dollar.
I love finding, like, Robot Master KOs or whatever at Family Dollar. They have KOs of everything there.
The Robot Master's KOs have been, like, 10 years or so now, haven't they?
Yeah. But the thing is, they're all crap. Rarely do you actually find a KO of good quality, except in Easter baskets. But that's been a while.
The last Robot Masters knockoff I saw, which was of any kind of quality, was when we were at Chartercon. I got that oversized Arboid because I wanted, you know, oversized knockoff Cyberjet.
Now, like the shrunk down, the undersized combiners that they sell on card like a Tuesday morning, those are high quality.
Yeah, Tuesday morning is probably still the best place for knockoff Transformers, at least the last time I was there.
Yeah.
That's Fortress Minimus still shows up with
Fortress
a pretty good
Minimus. I love that.
Regularity. And I got a pretty good quality knockoff of Robot Master Star Saber there once.
Okay, cool. So let's go ahead and jump to the news. To me, biggest item, I was actually in a meeting at work with a friend of mine, coworker, and we were in the middle of something, and I actually interrupted our meeting so I could post this to Facebook and Twitter.
And how did you know this was coming?
Exactly. First thing I thought was I got to tell Rob Springer. Then I thought Diecast came through. So I texted Rob Springer before I posted it to Twitter. But HasCon, the official Hasbro convention, September 8th through 10th, 2017 in Providence, Rhode Island. I don't want to read the press release, but there are some important things in here that I will quote. The convention will treat attendees to 3 unforgettable days, featuring a celebration of Hasbro's powerful characters and stories, including live interactive experiences, exclusive products, talent appearances, panels, and much more. So I'm hoping that much more is the dealer room. Otherwise, it kind of sounds like BotCon, because I love panels. Talent appearances are important. Exclusive products are important. But, like, that dealer room experience is something that I crave at BotCon.
Yeah, so. Other than meeting up with, like, friends, the dealer room is the reason I go to BotCon. Like, it's the reason I travel for hundreds of miles and spend hundreds of dollars, because all the panel stuff you can pretty much catch on the internet within an hour or two.
Yeah. I mean, I really love the product announcements. Of course, now all of that stuff, like you said, shows up on the internet now, but it didn't used to. But it's the interesting thing here. So it's HasCon. It's multi-branded. So we're talking about Transformers, My Little Pony, Nerf, Magic the Gathering, Play-Doh, Monopoly, G.I. Joe. Magic's there, but like not Dungeons and Dragons, which kind of makes me sad.
At least they haven't announced it yet, if it is.
Are there any? What other brands aren't mentioned here? Like, Don, Visionaries isn't here. What's up with that?
I'm hoping that'll be rectified when we get closer to the Marvel Universe, the Hasbro Universe aligned continuity.
Mask? No mask. But G.I. Joe is mentioned, and we have an official G.I. Joe convention for now. That's interesting that they specifically called out G.I. Joe.
I have not ruled out personally that we could still get Cybertron Con as a specific Transformers convention that they also trademarked. I think there could be room for both, so I'll be interested to see if that happens.
One thing I'm thinking about this is that this is going to be something they try to point toward more general audiences rather than, you know, the specific, I'll say, diehards of the particular fandoms involved. Whereas, yes, then there would be like specific conventions targeted more toward our segment of the franchises.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like the catch-all thing that you get families to bring their kids to and actually, you know, be normal.
So, I do want to point this out because...
Although, I don't know how G.I. Joe applies then.
Yeah. Mm. One thing I do want to point out is because I know some people aren't necessarily excited about this, and it does come within, like, a month of when TFCon normally occurs. In March, we are going to have...
That's going to be so expensive.
Yeah. In March, we are going to have Jolanta in Atlanta. And Jolanta this year, Rob and I are... Rob Springer more so than me, but we are advising somewhat on a specific Transformers fan experience. There's going to be a Transformers sub-convention at Jolanta that we're working on. So that's going to be really exciting. And Rob Springer's worked really hard on pulling together panels and such. And, of course, the normal panel that we have every year with Rob, me, and Dusty. And if you guys are there, you'll be involved. Will happen next year. Plus, again, there's going to be a whole room dedicated just to Transformers. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Hey, Brian, if it's a sub-convention, does that mean Sixshot will be there on display?
That's awesome, Don. I love that. Yes, hopefully. That would be great. Sixshot should be out by that point, though, right?
So. Don't turn the sub-convention upside down.
That's hilarious.
Whatever you do.
But that's going to be March 10th, 11th, and 12th. Go to jolanta.org. Jolanta's just a really fun convention anyway. I've had a blast, especially the last few that I went to. The one Diecast and I went to, we went to the concert that they had. And admittedly, Jolanta, it's a general toy convention, but it's heavily focused on like 12-inch G.I. Joe. And they're branching out, but there's still a lot of that 12-inch Joe fandom there. So there's a lot of old drunk men rocking out with the cover band that played. It was actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, the cover band was good.
They were great, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Well, I enjoyed the film festival, especially that one that for the year that we watched it, which was like the Private Eye sort of black and white one. That was my favorite one. But yeah, that's a really fun convention, and it's gotten bigger and bigger each year. Last year is pretty huge. Okay, and let's see, next item. So with the announcement of Hasbro also announced a new Transformers fan club, which begins in 2017. We don't know much about it more than that, but so a new toy club. So
it actually begins in January 2017, I believe.
Yeah.
Like pretty much as
well,
just as Fun Pubs is winding down,
which is basically what the email from Hasbro said.
Mm-hmm. Can I speculate?
That's what we're here for, dude.
All right. I just want to speculation. This is just my one of the things said sign up for the newsletter. And when I signed up, I started getting HasbroToyShop.com coupon codes and percents off. So I'm assuming that the whatever we have is going to be handled through Hasbro Toy Shop.
Possible.
Now, I just think that, you know, that would be the easiest way for Hasbro to say, you know, we're doing this thing and then hand off the, you know, the selling and the distribution and everything like that to Hasbro Toy Shop.
If I were running it, that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah.
I mean, you already have this company in place who's doing the work for you. Just give them more business.
Right.
Also, you mentioned email list. So at going back to the HasCon thing, there on the HasCon website, which I think is what, hascon.hasbro.com, mm-hmm. you can sign up for more information about HasCon. I did that. It said, sorry, you can't sign up now.
I tried that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the same problem.
Yeah.
That one I didn't try.
So hopefully soon. But yeah, I was super excited to get that press release. I was like, oh no, I'm not at home. But yeah, I did what I could by tweeting.
The only thing I thought is like, wow, that's like right around the same time as New York Comic Con. It's like real close.
Yeah, you're right.
It's within like a week, if not the same week.
Well, so it's not far for them to travel since they're doing it in Rhode Island.
Right, right.
It's going to be hard for you if you want to go to New York Comic Con, though. If I had to choose between the two, I would definitely go to HasCon, me personally. But
yeah,
I at least want to go to the first one to.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, I want to see what they have in store.
And if it's not for me, I won't go the next time.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I was thinking, Brian, when this was announced, and I talked over this with some friends, is and Matt mentioned this in pre-show. I think it's best not to expect a traditional convention format.
I agree.
With what we're used to with BotCon. Because I got a feeling that with us having a new collectors club coming out, that's where our level of toys, our collectors level of figures will be coming from mostly, because it'll be mostly targeted towards the fans. Not the upper level fans as far as you've been with the franchise for a while, not your more casual fans. I don't mean casual fan in a bad way. I'm just saying
I think the exclusives are probably going to be geared more toward casual fans, like that the Cybertron Kiss Rock Band set, whatever it was called. I can remember.
That might be a bad example.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be crap like that if we get exclusives.
What I would really like to see with this is a fan club as opposed to a parallel toy line that costs four times as much.
I would agree.
If Hasbro wants to do exclusives that are relatively affordable and inclusive, they have a lot of good stuff available right now. They could give away those Asian Titans Return sticker sheets as a freebie with the sign up.
Mm-hmm.
They could do as cheap exclusives the Takara Face Titan Masters. They could do runs of Computron's hands and feet in different colors to match the other combiners as a relatively inexpensive exclusive. You know, there's a whole wealth of things they could do. And, you know, I think it's debatable at this point whether we really need a second parallel line doing, you know, esoteric things. I mean, we're getting an Overlord next year. We're getting a Lyokaiser as a
I already have one.
Yeah.
Damn.
There's I'm not sure. I don't want to look antagonistic to the collectors club in this situation, but I'm not sure that their current form has not outlived their usefulness.
Great point. And actually, if you think about this logically, one of the reasons that the Collectors Club, the current model, works the way it does is because Funpub is a very small company. They have a very specific business model. That's not Hasbro's business model. Hasbro doesn't have to sell things for $400 to turn a profit. I mean, they can elect to have a run whatever size they want to. They could just, like you said, run more of the figures from the Asia exclusive stuff, or they could just have Takara do extra runs of some of their stuff if they wanted to. Like back in the day when Hasbro Collectors Shop or whatever it was called,
Hasbro Collectors Club.
Yeah, when they had Beast Wars 2 Galvatron, Leo
and
Convoy.
Leo Convoy.
Yeah, when basically they just real. I'm certain they just worked with Takara and said, "Hey, can you do extra runs of this so that we can sell it over here?"
Or just, do you have any extra stock we can take off your hands?
That too.
Yeah.
But no, actually, that's a really good point itself. You know, there doesn't have to be unique new product for this. It could just be another means to get stuff out of market to people who are not familiar with importing the same way we are.
Or that just could, make it
like,
easier.
Like some of those tail-end animated toys that didn't make it out to the States that made it out in Japan, like at that time.
No, not that Bumblebee.
Maybe
please,
that,
no.
Yeah. But Bungie's at terrible. That time, maybe those could have been, you know, yeah, absolutely. Or...
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good mechanism for something like that.
Or instead of selling to TJ Maxx, maybe it goes to the club.
Yeah. I wouldn't rule that out either. Yeah. No, because, like, one reason that the current Collectors Club works the way it does is because also, like, FunPub picked up the ball from the 3H era of conventions and kind of carried that spirit forward. They made the Collectors Club then in that same mindset. It kind of works the way it does because it just has always worked the way it works right now. They haven't tried to do anything new or different. So, yeah. Rob, I don't think you're antagonistic in any way saying that the model as it is has probably outlived its usefulness. And I think some of the character selections and stuff we've gotten in Club and BotCon sets in the last few years kind of point to the same thing. Hasbro themselves are going in the more esoteric direction, so there's not as much room for the Club as it stands to draw from. So getting something new and different is, I would think, a very welcome possibility.
Yeah.
I'm actually more excited about it now than I was.
Yeah.
I get that way when I talk to people about stuff too sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's definitely the only thing I don't want to see is everyone taking these small shreds of information that we're getting and saying, oh, this is going to suck because of this, or this
John,
is going to be the greatest thing ever. It's
people don't do
the
that.
Internet.
What are you talking about?
So I don't want to see people on boards and forums start fighting over.
Well, Don, you probably shouldn't read the boards and forums then.
Yeah.
Stay off.
I know.
Now, come on. The Transformers fandom is very open-minded people. You know.
I've heard that the Transformers fandom is toxic.
Yeah. Don, you just said that.
That's a quote from somebody. That's not. I'm not commenting. That's not me saying that.
You just said that HasCon may not be for us. So.
Okay. Actually, I'm glad you. No.
What I was saying is that it's not going to be the long time older fan. Oh, it'll be more. It'll be more of a general audience, general focus, where we might get smaller figures. That's more of a general audience.
So what I expect to see. Was it BotCon 2010 that had the Transformers shooting gallery, or 2012? Don, you remember where you run through and you shoot the targets?
I don't.
Well, it's gonna be. I'm certain it'll be crap like that. It'll be basically,
especially if there's a Nerf presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Rob. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say. Also, I think it's possible. You know, I think it's possible for mature people to say that something may not be for us without it being a negative.
Yes. Exactly. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Justin Bieber is not for me, but he sucks. I'm
sorry.
So I
just don't want everybody, you know, drawing a line in the sand and picking one side or the other when it's like we barely know anything.
Yeah, no, aside from Diecast trying to stir something up, Don's very right. Don't take the little bit we know now and dig your heels into the sand and just decide ahead of time that this is going to be the worst thing ever. We don't really know what this is going to be yet.
You're the one that says he doesn't want to go.
No, I'm actually positive about this thing because A, it's not FunPub, and B, it's FunPub. So, and the price
is a lot closer to you than you're used to.
Yeah, the prices can't go any higher than they originally were. So, like everyone said,
Rhode Island's the most expensive BotCon I've been to.
And no, I absolutely, you're absolutely correct. I don't want to go to HasCon because, for one thing, I don't want to try to finance a trip to Rhode Island. And the other thing is, as it's presented, I don't see a lot to interest me in particular right now, and I have other venues I can potentially visit you guys, and like Matt was saying, you know, that's a major interest I have in going in the first place. I want to hang out with you guys more than I want whatever the convention has to offer. So, if I go to Jolanta, if TFCon becomes a thing and that's possible for me, you know, I have other options. I don't need to go to Rhode Island.
And also one thing to consider is that Hasbro being, I don't remember, I know the office in Pawtucket closed at one point. I'm not sure. I'm just saying. But they might have economies of scale as far as working with hotels and other businesses where we're getting a better rate on the hotel than what FunPub could, you know, negotiate just as far as being a low, you know.
Especially if it's not just a Transformers convention, if they're bringing in the My Little Pony crowd and the G.I. Joe crowd, and
they can guarantee a lot more
the
people.
The two people who like Battleship.
So Joe Lanta, in and of itself, sells the entire hotel at the Century Center in Atlanta every year. That's Joe Lanta.
Nice.
Sells the entire hotel. So that's a lot of – it's like 13 floors, 13 stories. So, I mean, if Joe Lanta sells out a convention, I'm certain BotCon, if it, on a smaller convention, smaller hotel, probably did the same. So I don't know – other than being Hasbro and having some cachet behind their name, I don't know that they'll really have any more power to – command rates more so than anybody else, because any decent sized convention will sell out a hotel as long as people go to it. I mean, I'm certain TFCon does as well.
As long as it's advertised.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and like, they can fill a hotel block just with two words, Nerf War.
Nerf War.
Like, you make that an official event one day at HasCon. You know, hand out cheap little Nerf guns and packs of darts and just like, yeah, go kill each other. And by the way, you can buy more of our product in the shop downstairs if you like what you know, if you like your experience with our Nerf guns.
Now, but to Don's point, depending on the size of the hotel, now if it's a bigger hotel, I'm certain Hasbro can probably pull somebody in. I don't know the actual facility. I forget the hotel that I was in BotCon for BotCon 2007, but it wasn't the convention hotel.
Yeah. I keep being disappointed when I read through the press release because I'm parsing the name of the convention center wrong. So I keep reading it as whatever convention center and Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
You know, just assuming there's like the world's best Dunkin' Donuts in the, you know, ground floor of it or whatever.
So Don,
no, it's just Don, it's just named after
Don,
Dunkin' Donuts.
Was the place in 07, was it connected to a mall? Was that the
yes.
place? Had like the 5-story mall or whatever it was.
Yeah, because cool. the weekend we were there, the first iPhone came out because they were lined up on the bottom level because the top level had a video game, science fiction, bookstore, record store up top. Mm-hmm. That's where I picked up a couple of Doctor Who items, and we all looked down below, and they were lined up, and someone said, Apple's releasing a new phone. I said, Apple makes phones? And
That's like the only BotCon where I've really spent a lot of time in a food court. I think I had basically every meal in a food court. That
I had Popeyes for the first time. I was
How'd
not
you
impressed.
Like it?
I was not impressed. I prefer Bojangles.
Me too.
Does raise a point. It's probably going to be multiple hotels that they're going to have to use because you're
right.
Talking about My Little Pony, Transformers, G.I. Joe. I mean, that's a broad range of people. I'm sure it's going to draw a lot more people than, you know, just a Transformers convention on it.
I agree, and the My Little Pony fans scare me.
Yes, they should. Yeah. You should be scared.
I'm gonna say this, okay? Everyone in every fandom has their fringes. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter. If you are a fan of Transformers and Hasbro makes something else that you don't like, do not hold that against the people that'll be coming for what they like, and they may not like our stuff.
Everybody is going there to have a good time.
Exactly.
If there's a My Little Pony panel, you must attend that, and then you can tell us afterwards.
You want to report from your My Little Pony panel?
Yes.
I respect the show for what it does, reaching fans outside of its target audience. I'm not a fan. I respect the show and I like it, but I'm not a fanboy of the show. But just like there's people that like G.I. Joe that may not like Transformers, we're all going because we all love these toys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, again, to everyone that's going to be going or think they're going to be going, we all need to be civil. And respect everyone else's fandoms.
I agree.
Every fandom has its bizarre fringes. It really doesn't matter if you get people who are going to be weird and intense about wanting to bone cartoon horses or wanting to bone robots.
That's nice. I love that.
And then, I mean, there's some fandoms that are just all fringe, like Hot Wheels. But we don't have to worry about that at HasCon.
We don't talk about Hot Wheels fans.
HotCon 2010, I saw more denim jackets than I think I've ever saw in my entire life.
They never brought a style, you know.
Yeah. So, I was going to say something about, doesn't matter. Yeah.
But now you're just thinking about boning cartoon horses.
No. No, I'm not. but no, I'm now more excited than I was. So thank you guys. I definitely want to go now. Man, I don't know. What else is there to talk about this week? Let's see here. Oh, yeah.
Well, profits are up.
Hasbro had its best Q3 in history.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And Transformers is up in a non-movie year.
That's fantastic. I mean, they've had a couple of years over the last 5 years that weren't that great. Of course, this is just a quarter, so it's not the whole year. But the fact that they had a strong Q3, that speaks very well.
Yeah. I think they deserve it. I think I love their Titans Return line. I think it's the best line we've gotten in a long, long time. And I'm really not looking forward to it ending.
No, it'd be really interesting to see the breakdown on sales between the various lines.
I mean, I'd like to think that Robots in Disguise is a big part of Transformers having an up quarter.
Yeah. As many assortments as the various classes seem to go through, it would have to be.
But yeah, so that's great news. Let's see here. Moving ahead to we have in hand photos of Wave 3 Getaway and Trigger Happy. So Getaway makes me sad.
Getaway needs some paint, especially in the robot mode.
Mm-hmm. I love that it's Getaway, but it makes me sad.
Maybe it'll be better when Takara releases his Lightfoot.
Yeah, but I guess...
I think I'm going to go that route.
I guess what bothers me the most, though, and it shouldn't, but it really does, is when we take a Target Master, or in this case, Power Master, and make them a Headmaster.
That bothers me, but I'm getting over it. Like, I would love to have a Target Master Blur and a Target Master Hot Rod, but the figures themselves are so nice, I can look past it.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind, you know, the parts forming that be involved, like, there is a potential for someone to make non-transforming heads to put on them, and maybe have guns come with those, you know.
That'd be cool.
Make repurposing kits for them.
I like Trigger Happy. I think Trigger Happy looks really good.
Trigger Happy looks like probably the best of the wave.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will find some interesting ways to reuse the engineering.
I forget, what else is in that wave? Is that the...
Twinferno and Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good wave.
Yeah.
Except for Getaway.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Hot Rod is a lot bigger in person than you would expect. I mean...
good.
Yeah, it's a decent size vehicle mode.
Yeah, and that's something...
good since Classics was kind of undersized.
And we desperately need a new Hot Rod.
That's something... When I did that review of Beast Force Cheetor, a couple weeks ago, I actually lined up like deluxes from various time periods, and you know, I hadn't actually looked at Skull Smasher next to some of the older things, and I was pleasantly surprised at how large he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
The deluxes we're getting now are a pretty good size.
Yeah, they found ways to play with the volume a little bit more and get us things that look and feel bigger.
Lots of hollow arms and legs.
Yeah, which I'm
right, but when those are used correctly, it doesn't really matter that they're hollow.
No.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Orion Pax was almost exactly the same size as Cheetor.
Yeah, but they were still figuring out how to work within, you know, new limits.
Yeah. It was just unfortunate that they decided to scale things down that much and raise the price at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, that Trailbreaker is still really, really small next to everything else. It's kind of...
So it's hoist,
jarring.
Of course.
Yeah.
If somebody could like upscale those by like 25%, they're really nice.
There is an upscaled knockoff of that Trailbreaker mold out there somewhere. I've seen pictures of it.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I may need to look into that.
Didn't someone pick that up at TFCon Chicago the first time?
What was it again?
It was in our
upscaled, upscaled Generations Trailbreaker.
Nick did.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
Let's see here. That's it as far as official news goes. I had something else, but I don't really want to talk about it. Let's go ahead and jump to my favorite part. Thank you, Amazon. Why don't you pre-order Voltron? Diecast did. Be more like Diecast. You can get that at tfradio.net/Voltron, and it looks phenomenal.
Is Soul of Chikogen awesome. Daijujin or Megazord available for pre-order yet?
Yes, like, it is.
Is it on Amazon?
Yes, it is. I pre-ordered it last week, right before the show.
Maybe we should find that, and you can make a shortcut link to that later, and we can, you know, promote that next time.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know,
for, that's another $300 item.
Yeah. Megazord.
You know, for
tfradio.net/Megazord.
Okay.
It's a great looking figure for a Lion Voltron. I'm just really tired of Lion Voltron.
Hush, Don. This isn't a news story. This is an ad. It's the best thing you've ever seen.
Don, remember, if this sells well, they may do a Lion Voltron, or they may do a
they'll just do
another Lion Voltron.
Or we'll get Stealth Voltron from
the, yeah,
Stealth Voltron.
So go get Stealth Voltron. That'd be perfect. Life would make sense again.
Also, right now, Computron is under $80, the Hasbro version. That's at tfradio.net/Computron.
Definitely worth that. That's pretty nice for
$80. Yeah, me too. And thanks to Rob's suggestion, we now have tfradio.net/Megazord to pre-order that Soul of Chikogen Megazord, so... It's pretty nice, too. So it's Mega Zord, capital M. And you can get that. Computron is a capital C. Voltron's a capital V. And you buy that. Amazon doesn't charge you a cent more, but they send a little bit back to help us pay for the show. And one thing that's going to help support is Don's going to have a new podcast. And we're going to have that here soon. It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I am too. It's something unique. I think it'll be a unique part of the TF Radio Network.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll fill an unfilled niche.
Yeah, and it feels like a real spot in my heart where I haven't worked in radio now in about 3 years, local radio, like taking live calls. So that'll be a lot of fun. So basically... We're done with Amazon right now. So basically, we have our hotline that we use for voicemail. We can also use it for text. If you wanted to send us a text, the number is 931-99-462-68. That's 931-99-GOBOT. But we're going to set it up so that you can actually call us at that number. I will screen the call and hand you over to Don, and Don will take your calls about items that you may want to sell. We're going to try to focus on Transformers, but toys in general. So if you have something you want to get rid of, give Don a call when we have this set up.
Or if it's something you're looking for.
Or if you want some advice on Donomics, Don would also help out with that. Like, I'm going to milk this for all it's worth because I am going to have to get a little piece of hardware to do the work. So I'm super excited about it.
Yeah. Donomics makes no guarantees. Past performance is no indicator of future potential.
Yeah.
You rattled out that disclaimer a little bit too easy there, Don. Yeah. You've been rehearsing that one?
Actually, yes, I have.
That is awesome.
He tells himself every night.
So I don't know when we're going to start it, but we are. But don't forget, we have the hotline, which is 931-99-GOBOT. Which again is 931-994-6268. You can use that anytime if you want to leave a voicemail for us for any of the shows, or send us a message, or send us a text. Again, you can leave feedback via text. But Don,
have to be short though.
Yeah, have to be short. But it's exciting. So I'm actually setting it up here. I have a desk phone on the way, a literal physical desk phone that I am connecting to my phone line that I have here that I've never used, and I will be screening your call on a real phone and then patching it on. I know, but it's just like radio. It's just, well, actually in radio it's a little fancier because I had a little better hardware, but when I first started, it was cheapo like that. So it's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah. And the reason I'm excited is because there's so many people out there that have stuff to sell that they don't want to do eBay because of the fees or the hassle. The boards, you know, it's hard to sell on boards, you know, because you got to post so many pictures and everything else, you know. And this is just something light and fun, and like, you know, hey, I've got, you know, this piece, or hey, I'm looking for this and I can't find it. So anything we can do to connect people together to make a stronger fandom and have a little fun. Although, you know, Brian, if it's gonna be my show, am I allowed to say no Beast Machine toys? Am I allowed to do that?
Don, it's gonna be your show.
It's be my show. Okay, all right.
Good. But you don't lose a lot of business that way, Don.
But yeah, because that's all people.
Oh yeah, there's probably a lot of people looking to unload those.
Don, I just want you to know, Sam Green in the chat. He says Vehicle Voltron sucks. I just want you to know.
Okay, Sam, don't tell me who you are if you see me at a convention. Because if there's Nerf guns there, I know who you are. You're getting nerfed.
That's awesome. Okay, so only one third-party news item this week. Fans Toys FT-19 Apache pre-orders are up. We have – this is the 78th unofficial Springer figure that's come out. And
Well, I think this was one of the earlier ones to be announced.
Yeah.
It's the one I'm getting. I know
you're a fan. You're a Fans Toys fanboy.
Yeah, and I'm really excited because there's a possibility at TFCon, their third party panel that always happens, that Fans Toys is rumored to get to show off their Omega Supreme, which is going to be Omega Supremely priced. But
So I just want to point out on the new call-in show, we will have a segment called Supreme Cheater of the Week. So,
well, you know, looking at the Fans Toys Springer, ignoring the other stuff that you were just talking about, because I'm not going to do that. I'm sort of torn between this Springer and the Make Toys Allen, because both have characteristics I like.
Well, it's not Make Toys Allen. It's isn't it Unique Toys?
I have a perfectly good Generation Springer that I'm going to have and forget all these. Is that the KFC or whatever wheelie right there with this?
Ollie.
X-Transbots.
Yeah. It looks terrible.
No, that's not the X-Transbots one.
Yeah, well, it was just re-released.
That's not it, though. The picture Brian's looking at, that's not it.
Oh, okay.
What is that?
Are you sure?
I think that was that very first third-party wheelie that came out. I have no idea who did it. Like what
the Jizai toys?
Yeah, it's
seeing that makes me like really appreciate the Titans Return wheelie that I have.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not.
As far as third-party Springers go, this one looks pretty good.
It does. I just don't need it.
Yes, you do.
Well, no, I don't.
Well, and I'll be honest, I'm still fairly happy with the Warbot Defender. I know it hasn't aged perfectly, but it's still
But this is going for the masterpiece collector, Don.
I know.
Warbot Defender's more of a classics scale. Which
the only thing that's sad is the amount of time we're gonna have to wait for this figure to come out, because how many Fans Toys figures do we have in front of this?
I have Sovereign
on Skyfire.
There's an easier way to go about this. What's the last numbered figure that they actually released?
Good question.
No,
this is 19.
Well, their numbers come out in the order that they decide they're gonna do the figure, because Skyfire is like earlier than Skyfire is like 12 or something like that. So the numbers really don't matter. I'm not even sure what Galvatron is, but if you go by Sovereign, what his, you know, number is, that's when they say they're doing the figure that it gets the number.
Okay.
Some of them go through development quicker than others, apparently.
Right. Yeah, it's not.
But they do not change the numbers to reflect the release order.
Right. Don't number them until you know what order they're going to come out in.
Well, yeah, that's what a sane person would do.
Well, I'm sure when they're in the design, they say, okay, this is going to be number 19, and then it gets put this aside for a while, and then four more come out, but they go back to that. Like, I think that's what they
do. Which is fine. You can have it, you know, internally be, you know, product number 19, but don't maybe advertise it that way, because that gets confusing really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, have respect for OCD.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, not too much. We've got some pictures of the die-cast Megatron gun that's going to come with the Hasbro Asia release of MP29 Shockwave, re-release, rather. Mm-hmm.
I hope when the importers get that in, they have to like put orange tape around the barrel.
That would be great.
or paint the barrel orange so that everyone has to strip it down when they get it.
Of course, since it's metal, that'll be easy.
Yeah. It's actually a really nice-looking piece, I think.
Yeah.
It seems like we're going to start getting, like, little die-cast metal things to go with the Hasbro Asia masterpieces as opposed to just coins. Cause...
Yes, and we're also now being taught to never buy a masterpiece on the first release. Wait for the Hasbro reissue. Mm-hmm. Hasbro Asia reissue.
Hmm.
Yeah. Other than that, we've got the solicitation for Optimus Prime number 3, which I think comes out in, like, February.
I love the cover.
Yeah, the cover is great, but be warned that the cover does contain some spoilers. It pretty much answers the question that the solicitation for the first issue asks. So just be warned that you will have a pretty good idea of what's going to be going on if you go and take a look at this.
Okay, cool.
I will say, though, the main cover for it by Kay Zama is really, really nice looking.
Yes, it is. And that one is not spoilery, so.
No, it's just really cool art.
Yeah.
Okay, so on the network this week, that one episode of Star Trek, Tomorrow is Yesterday. Which episode is that?
Basically, the first time Star Trek tried to do a real time travel story, and it shows.
The original series.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is that the one where they went back to the 69?
It's the one where they met the Air Force captain.
Yeah, okay. Let's see here. Also, we have Take 4 Wrestling, Episode 12, ECW CyberSlam 96, and The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. JT and I watched The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, and it was pretty powerful. So, amazingly, I was shocked. And we watched ECW CyberSlam 96, and it was garbage. So that was a lot of fun. That's
you know what is garbage?
What's garbage? The
host... or the co-host of that show.
Man, it... Atlanta, you're going to get yours, sir.
Also, Diecast, this week's trash talk is pretty weak, I got to say.
Joey's trash talk is pretty good. He heaps up his end on...
Well, that's four. Because he's a better wrestler.
Well, he actually...
I haven't listened to that show, so it means nothing.
Oh. Okay, so also this week, we had a big weekend. So the RSC minicast, episode 56, which was the Computron minicast. And that was a lot of fun. RSC Extra, episode 27, which was Anthony's, from TFU.info, his... actually, it's the return of Destroy, Erase, Improve, which was his segment from RFC back in, like, 2001. I thought that was a nice little Easter egg. But it was his interview with the Hasbro Transformers design team. So, from New York Comic Con. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, the classic RFC Easter egg was phenomenal. Being awesome with Rob Springer. Rob basically in that episode he spilled his heart out about how much he loves his fans and doing being awesome, even though sometimes it's really hard because life is difficult. Feel you, Rob. Okay, that I guess is it for the material on the show. You can follow me on Twitter at BKilby, and I've been tweeting a lot more lately. And I got a new phone, so I'll also be like doing stuff on Instagram, which on Instagram, I'm Brian Kilby, one word, and also TF Podcast. I didn't realize I could actually have two accounts on one app. I know I could do it in Twitter, but not Instagram. So I'll be Instagramming more lately. And also on Twitter at TF Radio. You know, that's important. And Facebook.com/TF Radio. Chris is at ChrisRTXV. Matt actually runs his own Twitter account, which is at Melvar. M-E-L-L-L-V-A-R-R.
You know, Matt, I was a lot more impressed with your Twitter account when you actually had like a social media person operating it for you.
Yes, that was yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Diecast, you're at Diecast2 on Twitter. And
I'm at Diecast2 at Twitter, and make sure you also follow at JT Hogg, which is JTHOGG. That way you can see us communicate back and forth. You'll get in on the fun.
Are you going to invade his Facebook page, which is at tfradio.net/Hogg, H-O-G-G? Are you going to troll him on his Facebook page?
No, I don't do I leave my Facebook as kind of you know, the actual me and
not the kayfabe you.
not the Transformers me.
No, my Facebook page is like all my social media stuff. That's where all the stuff I should be tweeting is on my Facebook.
Yeah, no, I leave that stuff to Twitter. I mean, if you want to see what I'm doing around my house or something like that, that's usually on my Facebook. You can follow me on Facebook, but it's usually not Transformers related. Every once in a while, there's something in there. But on Facebook, I also have Diecast Reviews or Reviews by Diecast.
Reviews by Diecast, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to follow me, Transformers stuff will go on there. Just my reviews and stuff. And
Go ahead.
I was going to say on YouTube at RFC Reviews.
The shirt that I didn't want to show on screen right now is on my Instagram. So Jason in the chat just saw it. So, yeah. Don, how do people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR.
Cool. Let's see here, Rob.
I am on Twitter at RAC2750, and I suck at the compartmentalizing thing, so you'll get Transformers and everything else.
I love following you on Twitter.
Okay. I am also on YouTube at FlailThroughs, where I have started posting reviews of some of my old Gundam mobile suits and action figures. And also, you can see all of the video reviews that XD and I do for Transformers at T-Formers TV.
Diecast, that's his comment in the chat. Okay. Let's see here. Anything else? So don't forget Extra Life, November 5th. All day streaming video games.
Also, maybe, you know, let Don promote his Twitter.
We just did. Weren't you paying attention?
No, I must have tuned out when Diecast was talking.
Don was talking, though, so... Okay, so Extra Life, November 5th, 24 hours of live streaming, games all day. It'll be fun, and it goes to good cause. Go to tfradio.net/extralife, all lowercase, and you can make a donation. So tfradio.net/extralife, and again, don't forget Operation Combination. Buy something at Walmart, Transformers. Just help them, Walmart, Target, any Toys R Us, any retailer, help them clear off the shelves and make a difference in a child's holiday.
Whatever Transformer you are sick of seeing on those shelves will be wonderful to some kid somewhere.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Robots in Disguise backlog out there, too, and that's stuff that kids in these situations might actually be seeing on TV at some point or another, so might be good, too.
I'll even point this out. So Supreme Cheetor came out when, 99, 2000?
Yeah, 2000.
Some kid in 2003 probably got that for Christmas, and they loved it. It's probably the best Christmas they ever had. So just... even
because they always wanted a pet cat.
Even a Supreme Cheetor or Night Scream or like whatever toy you think is terrible, some kid would love it. Okay, we'll see you later. Have a good one. Thanks, guys.
Bye, y'all.
See you later, everybody.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.